Welcome to our Kingdom Culture podcast. For today's message, we are thankful for what God is doing through this podcast to encourage and transform lives around the world. If you have a story to share about how God has encouraged or transformed your life through this podcast, we would love to hear about it by emailing us at mystory@kingdomculture.ca. If you would like to support this ministry financially to help us bring messages like this to you every week, you can do so online at kingdomculture.ca at the Give option. We also would love to connect with you on our social media, on Instagram and Twitter at KC Ottawa, and Facebook at Facebook/Kingdom Culture Ottawa. We pray that you would experience God today and be encouraged through today's message. Enjoy.
I don't know if is it the weather? I don't know. But I'm glad you're in the room this morning. I'm really glad you're in the room this morning. And yes, we are moving Team Track. Team Track is something that we encourage everybody at some point to do. Whether you're already on team and you haven't done Team Track, you need to do it. It just helps us make sure that we're on the same page, that you understand a little bit of our heart, a little bit of our history. But for those that are curious about who we are, curious about sort of some of the internal structures and dynamics of how we run, curious of our history, and curious what it would look like to be connected on team, I would encourage you to join us for that. Lunch is on us. Love to meet you. It's a short, like 40-minute sort of like teaching to just share our heart with you. So we'd love for you to join us. That's June 21st. So if you're not, please sign up click the QR code. It helps us prepare. As well, baptism. I know that I'm just repeating announcements here, but I want to just reemphasize the importance of this. If you've not been water baptized, don't complicate it. If you would say that you are a follower of Jesus and he is king in your life, Lord of your life, baptism is the necessary step. It's not a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. The command that was a staple throughout the book of Acts and the growth of the Acts church was repent and be baptized. Change the way you think and be water baptized. Jesus was water baptized. I'm not talking about, listen, if you are baptized as a baby, it doesn't count. And I'm sorry to say, we call that dedication. There is no biblical evidence for baptizing babies all throughout Scripture. Okay? Now, you can sprinkle water on babies all you want, and we call that dedication here. There's a biblical precedent for baby dedication. We dedicate babies to the Lord, but at the age of accountability, when you can say out of your mouth, I believe that Jesus is Lord, I believe that he died for my sin, raised from the dead on the third day, I have received the forgiveness of my sin, I'm committing to follow him all the days of my life. If you are at that space and at that place, baptism is the necessary step for you. It is not a symbolic act, it's a spiritual experience. And so I want to encourage you, if you've not been water baptized, to scan this code, do it. It's next week. Don't complicate it. Take the plunge. Imagine when John the Baptist showed up on the scene and he was baptizing people, he was the one that baptized Jesus. People, you know, were not complicating. They weren't waiting for their mom from Vancouver to show up. No, it was an act of obedience to God in the moment. They didn't overanalyze it. It's like it must be done. And so I want to encourage you to take that into consideration. And, of course, next week, really encouraging you to be in the room for Vision Sunday. I want to just clarify something here because I just, in case there's confusion on a few fronts. Next week, we stepped into this last year. We used to do Vision Sunday back in the day quite a bit. Frequently, every year, really. And then there was a season where we stopped doing Vision Sunday. And we recently kind of reintegrated this into our rhythm, our rhythm here at Kingdom Culture. And that was last June. And last June, we had what we called our Prepare the Way offering. The theme moving into our Vision Sunday last year was Prepare the Way. And this offering was really to reinstate this into our rhythm, not knowing how it was going to be. You know, we have rhythms like, you know, our holiday dream at the end of every year, which is our big give back to the community for those that are less fortunate and are struggling during a hard season. And we have our House of Hearts offering, which is every year. We've been doing that for years at the end of every year in December. And that offering is about teaching the house about what it means to be sacrificial. What does it mean to feel sacrifice? What does it mean, and in the middle of that, to tie your faith to that sacrifice? So we encourage people with that offering at the end of every year, and our House of Hearts offering, to write on a card what they're believing for 2000 or for the next year, the year coming. And we say that it's not about the size of your gift, it's about the size of your sacrifice. Why do we say that? Because we want the community to feel what it feels like to be Spirit-led in sacrifice. Now, practically speaking, this helps kingdom culture end a year strong and 1 year strong and move into the next year stronger. Now, if we have the opportunity, based upon what comes in, to expand some things, we will. The last several years, it's helped us just balance everything to keep us strong and healthy. House of Hearts, a house of healthy hearts. That's the goal. This is a little bit unique and different. This is a one-time offering with another opportunity at hand, like I've shared in the video that you saw during announcements. And these envelopes are at the table there. If you don't have one, you want to be a part of it, you can. There's no pressure. But this is for people that want to partner with long-term vision with us. This is for people that say, hey, like, I feel called to be a unique part of building the kingdom with this body. Now, many of you would say, well, it's semantics. Well, don't all of you feel that way? Hopefully all of you feel that way to a degree. One is about teaching us about sacrifice. It's more about us learning what it looks like to sacrifice and what that means, and then praying and believing God for something in the year to come. This one is like, hey, where are the pioneers? Where are the visionaries? We want you to be a part of this to help us actually expand. Last year, just over $17,000 came into that one offering. And, you know, last year, if you were here in the room, we announced some major things that we launched. We launched the training arm of Kingdom Culture, SLA, with first year 118 enrollments. You know, and we're on track. I think about, like, I don't know if it's 70% or about 70 of those students will actually graduate, which is amazing. And just so exciting what God has been doing through that process. Also, we launched the women's ministry. Shout out to the KC Women's Ministry. Yesterday, they hosted an amazing event, and it was a sold-out event, and I heard so many great reports. Maybe that's why some of the women are missing. Is that why? We're just tired. I'm like, God forbid we relaunch our conference culture, because, you know, we would have, like, conferences all weekend. Saturday night, people would be leaving the church at, like, 11:30 at night, and we'd be up for two services the next day. So, I mean, we end up 5 o'clock on a women's event, and people aren't showing up on Sunday. I'm like, ooh, are we ready for conference culture? I don't know. But all that to say is, you know, so many amazing things. Some new partnerships with other ministries in the city began last year. So many amazing things we were able to launch into with strength. Now, this established offering, we're stepping out of the boat a little more aggressively this season. We got 8 or 9 things that we are announcing, super excited about. Some I have great fear of the Lord on, and some I have great just fear of man about that. I'm like, oh God, like, and so I'm just being honest. But I feel in my spirit an expectation. And I feel in my spirit that this coming Vision Sunday, we're actually establishing the actual rhythm for the future in this house of the power of Vision Sunday and why we need to have this. And so this offering specifically is going to be a little bit different than last year's offering. Like I said, last year was about starting, getting into the rhythm. This year is about establishing that rhythm. And we're just calling on people to believe with us and to stretch with us. And so I hope that explains it. You'll really get more of a picture next Sunday. And once again, you don't have to be involved. Some of you could be involved if you wanted to, like $1 a day. It's like, you know, half of a Tim Hortons coffee a day. Some of you could get involved at any level, but you don't have to be involved. But we're praying that those that feel to be involved would be involved in spirit, but also in action with us moving ahead. Super excited about next week. Well, we are in this series, as you've already heard me say multiple times, but called Established. This is week 9 of this series, and it's leading up to Vision Sunday. And I just believe that everything that we've been doing, God has been just ordering, reestablishing, realigning, resetting. I've said it this way many times. For many of you in this room, it's a reinventing season. It's a restarting season. It's a resetting season. It's a restoring season. It's a season of reconciliation in so many areas of your life. But in those types of seasons of our lives, it's hard. It's really hard. The pressure can feel great. The pressure can feel heavy. The anxiety can come in. The what ifs can come in. The doubts, the unbeliefs can come in. You know, Liz was sharing about their journey with giving. I've always said, like, it doesn't matter if I'm struggling. Like, here's the thing. The principles of God have nothing to do with your current life circumstance. In our finances, whether I'm struggling or not, God's principles don't change. And sometimes I would say, sometimes if I'm struggling on one area and I'm trying to figure out how I could change the God area, sometimes it's a simple answer of I've mismanaged some things personally. I've made some mistakes. I've made some purchases that, you know, I shouldn't have made maybe on the altar of like, okay, I think it will be okay. Anybody ever made those moments? Everybody done that? Yeah, okay. Let's just be honest, right? Sometimes it's not about anything else but our own mismanagement. But I look at moments of my life where we've struggled the most, and often where we've struggled the most, we've actually sacrificed the most. And it makes no sense. The life that we live makes no sense in the kingdom. If it makes sense, it's not kingdom life. The life that you're living makes sense in your time, how you manage your time, makes sense in how you manage your money, you're not living a kingdom lifestyle. You're living a worldly lifestyle. What are you saying? What are you saying? Like, I should just be unwise? No, I'm not saying be unwise. I'm saying being wise in the kingdom. And in the kingdom, to be first, you have to be last. In the kingdom, to receive, you have to give. In the kingdom, to go higher, you have to go lower. In the kingdom, everything is backwards. Hence why our logo, the K, is backwards. Because in the kingdom, everything is upside down. It doesn't make sense to man. Jesus' crucifixion on the cross was foolishness to man, the Bible says. It was scandalous to the Jews. Here comes a guy who's not kingly looking, not kingly in his presence, coming riding on a donkey into Jerusalem to give his life for all humanity. He didn't come to change the political infrastructure. He came to introduce a new covenant. He disrupted the whole system. It was backwards. It was upside down. It was not what the Jews were expecting for hundreds of years. That the way Jesus would come would be the way that he came. So everything in the kingdom is upside down. So when things make no sense, when I look at my time, when I look at my giving, when I look at my finances, when I look at my career, everything that I manage, like most of how I do what I do doesn't make sense. Now, like I said, I'm not saying be unwise, but in the kingdom, you cannot compare kingdom wisdom to worldly wisdom. Paul said in Romans 12, do not be conformed to the patterns of worldly wisdom. That's what he was saying. The way the world operates, do not conform to those. Conform to my patterns. My patterns are unlike the worldly patterns. My government is not the type of worldly government that you live within. You hearing me this morning? So I believe God is getting us ready for some incredible things in this season, but it won't make sense. It won't make sense for you. And I believe some things are going to die in this next chapter. I want to read Ephesians chapter 3. I want to read it. I told Harley as I came in, this is not really a teaching this morning, but we're going to see where this goes. But Paul, the apostle, is writing to the church at Ephesus. He's a prisoner in Rome around, you know, AD 60 AD. In Ephesians chapter 3, I want to read it out of the Message translation. In verse 20, it says this, and I want to say this as a declaration of where we're headed. God can do anything. Do you believe that? God can do anything. I have to remind myself of this all the time because I believe that principally. But then when I'm faced with things that don't make sense, or I'm faced with circumstances that are resisting my faith, or I'm faced with logical terms, logistics that are coming at me and saying it is impossible, I have to remind myself that even in the midst of the logistical impossibility, that God can still do anything. God can do anything, you know. Far more than you could ever imagine. So if you can imagine it, it's still too small. If you can imagine in your mind what God can do, you're still thinking too small. Because God will do more than you can imagine. So your finite mind, your rational, logistical, heavy-oriented mind is limited in its ability to even grasp what God can do. Because God can do more and will do more than you could actually conjure up in this small, little, finite part of who you are. He can do more beyond. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess. Like, guess he could do this if he wanted to. I talk about sometimes signs and wonders that I've seen, like literal, physical manifestations of God that I've seen in atmospheres like church, in atmospheres like conferences, in atmospheres like homes, on the street, in coffee shops and restaurants. And I share it with some people, and they're like, why would God do that? And my response is always the same. Why would God not want to do that? Or why would God not do that? Or why would you think God can't do that? Just because you can't understand and rationalize the why doesn't erase what God can and will do. Do you hear what I'm saying? Psalms 116, God says to the psalmist, God does whatever he pleases. What does that mean? He doesn't need your permission and doesn't even need to explain himself to you. And he can do it. He can do it. He can do it. And he'll blow your mind every time. He'll go beyond what you can think, ask, or imagine every time. God doesn't need our permission, and it doesn't need to explain to us. And I think when we lose, the moment we stop trying to get God to explain everything we can't understand to us is the moment faith truly comes alive in our relationship with him. Because where mystery lives, faith also lives. When mystery dies, faith dies with it. The mystery of who God is, the mystery of what he's like, the mystery of what he can and cannot do, what he wants to do, even despite our inability to understand or rationalize what it is that he could do or can't do or we think he can't do. So for more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams, think of how amplified, this is not the amplified version, but think about how amplified that statement is. Beyond what you can think, ask, or imagine. Maybe you've heard it like that. Think, ask, or imagine. Beyond your wildest dreams. So think about your wildest dreams. And then add a layer that you can't even grasp within that. That's what God wants to do for your life. He does it not by pushing us around. So the language is, he's not trying to force us into things. He's not trying to pawn us into things. He gives us the opportunity to be willing to surrender in those things. Because his care for us is more about the work on the inside than it is about the breakthrough on the outside. So he works gently with us. He doesn't force us into things. He says, okay, you could go there. I have this for you. It's already been preset, pre-established. But I am going to surround your life with people. I'm going to surround yourself with certain circumstances and things that will help provoke you. But at the end of the day, you have to be willing to surrender and to journey with me. Lean in. He does it by not pushing us around, but by working within us. So how does he do it? I just gave you the answer. Working within us. He doesn't do it by forcing us, kicking us through a door, pushing us through a door, by working within us. Sometimes it's slow, sometimes it's quick. There's accelerated rates at times. His spirit deeply and gently within us. So how does he do it? By doing deep work. How does he get us into the place to experience the things that we cannot think, ask, or imagine? By doing deep work within us. Deep work on the inside means powerful breakthrough on the outside. If God is really like rattling your character cage right now on the inside, in your workplace, in your relationship, in your marriage, in your family, in friendships, in other areas of your life, your immediate family, if there are things that you know God is like shaking up in your character within your soul, it's like he takes his stirring stick and he starts to stir things up within your soul that have never been dealt with. You know, like when you're making soup and you've not stirred for a while, where do all the things go usually? To the bottom. Well, sometimes with life, until God comes with his stirring stick and stirs some stuff up, all the things that we've not dealt with that are there have just sunk to the bottom, and we kind of forget about them. Then he comes and he stirs them up, and all of a sudden, oh man, I'm tasting all these flavors I forgot were there. Like they're coming to the surface. I'm seeing things that I hadn't dealt with yet. Right? So some of us are in these types of seasons right now where he's stirring things up. And so if that is happening, guess what? There's a deep work that God is doing in your life so that there can be a breakthrough work on the outside. Deep on the inside, breakthrough on the outside. When the deep work is done, the high calling truly begins. And we ebb and flow in this. So we might have a season of what I would call like hiddenness and isolation. God works on our character and then elevates us for a season. And then in that elevation, we go to another valley. And then God's working on our soul and character. And he elevates us again. And it's like we go like this, but we go higher and higher. And it's from glory to glory. We advance. But so many people give up in the valley. They don't like the pain. It feels hard. The trauma stirring up. No one's arrived. I don't care how old you are in the room. You got some major baggage still that you are unaware of that you have. To the day we die, we are being renewed every day. Renewed every day to the day we die. You can become better and better and better. Some of the most successful, significant, inspiring people I know started their business at 60. And they're living their dream right now. It just shows me you don't stop just because of age and stage. You don't, in the kingdom, you do not retire. You are constantly being refired up over and over. Call that a refirement, not a retirement. You don't retire in the kingdom. You're being refired over and over again. And hopefully the day you die, you've been so refired over and over again that you leave not just monetary value to the next generation, you leave inspiration to the next generation. That my grandma, my grandfather, they kept moving. They kept advancing the kingdom. They didn't stop on mission. They made their ministry the golf course, and they led every person they golfed with to the Lord. Like, whatever it looks like for you, you don't stop mission. The commission does not stop when you stop working 9 to 5 and now have your pension plan in place and your RSPs secured. No, mission continues. And I believe that there's new life to be given in this chapter for you. Whatever place you find yourself in, the death of one season happens so that new life and a new season can emerge. The closing of one chapter, the opening of another, the shutting of one door, the opening of another door. And I want to read to you out of Joshua chapter 1 today. Joshua chapter 1. I want to go there. I'm just going to stay in this chapter and we're going to see where we go with it. Joshua chapter 1, just a little bit of context for you. Moses had been leading the Israelites for 40 years in the wilderness. Moses had led them out of slavery. 40 years have gone by roughly at this point, and they're finally about to move into the promised land. But because of Moses' disobedience as a leader, the baton had to be passed to the next leader, the one who had assisted Moses for all those years, Joshua, the son of Nun. And so the book of Joshua opens up in chapter 1, verse 1. after the death, everyone say death, of Moses. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. What a way to open up the book. Moses, my serpent, is dead. Moses was considered the most humble man that had ever lived up until that point. Moses had given his life. Moses, at the age of 80, started his high calling. At the age of 80, had an encounter with God at a burning bush. God spoke to him, deliver my people from the hand of Pharaoh. Moses said, I can't. I have a stutter. I have all these excuses why I can't do this. And God basically said, I don't care about your excuses. I'll give you what you need to make this happen. Go and command Pharaoh to let my people go. And as you know, there were many different plagues, and eventually they got out. But it was a hard journey. Everybody that left Egypt died in the wilderness, except for a short few. The people that were born in the wilderness are the ones that went into the promised land. This promised land that had been promised for hundreds of years, they're about to now actually move into, yet a whole generation has to die first before a new generation can come into the promised land. One season has to die. One door has to close before another can truly open. That's why, like, I'm very cautious when I advise people about, just because you're excited about something new, you quit one season. You make sure that season really is closed before you quit one season because you want to go into the next one. A lot of people miss the timing of God. It might be the word of God, but the timing is wrong. So they prematurely close one door on the altar and premise that the other door is ready for them to go into. No, the door is just open so they can see through it, but they got to deal with stuff still here in this other room before they can move into that door. So it says here, Moses, my servant, is dead. The previous season is dead. The previous way is dead. The previous methodology is dead. This dispensation, this last 40-year window of time is dead. You're coming into a new chapter. So he says to Joshua, now therefore, listen to this, arise, go over this Jordan, the Jordan River, go over this Jordan, you and all this people to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river of Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the greats, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. He's getting Joshua already pumped up. He's like, pumping up. You ever seen some guy at a gym, like, before they're about to do, like, a PR and a squat? They're slapping the guy. They're slapping the face. The guy's sniffing this, like, chemical to get all jacked, ready to go. That's what God is doing right now. He's slapping Joshua. He's getting him ready. Come on, man. You got this. You've been with one leader for these last many decades. You saw one way, but that season has died. I got to get you ready, because wilderness living is not promised land living. The way you need to be in a promised land and actually take over and take dominion and have conquest is very different than just surviving in a desert. You survive in a desert, you don't cultivate the ground, you're always mobile, you're always moving, you're mobile, you're going, setting up this venue, setting up that venue. Eventually, when that season ends, a new season begins, but you cannot carry wilderness thinking into promised land living. It does not work. And so one leader, one method, one season has to die in you for another one to emerge. So he's literally slapping Joshua. Get ready. Be strong. Be courageous. It's going to take some you-know-what, Joshua. Should I say it? Wait a minute, we're in church. We shouldn't say that. Should we say it? I don't know. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. What do you need when you move into a new season? Strength and courage. What do you need in a new season? Strength and courage. I say it again. What do you need in this season of your life? Strength and courage. It's the weaponry to fight fear. Because when you move into unknown territory, the one thing that you will come up against is the intimidation of the spirit of fear. Unknowns. What's in the land? I hear there are giants. I hear there are some opposing forces that we've never experienced before. I hear there are some big walls and we don't know how to break those walls down. I hear there are some big challenges. I've heard the rumors. And so what do I need to move into that season of my life? Strength and courage. I need strength to tell me, hey, like I can do this in Christ. I can do this. God's got my back. God's called me. So therefore, I need to lean into that strength. I need strength because I'm going to feel weary at times. I'm going to feel tired. I'm going to feel like I don't have what it takes. And I need courage because I'm going to face some really intimidating things in this journey that are going to make me want to quit. I need strength and I need courage. He says in verse 7, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all of the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. So he's giving them the antidote. If you want to be prosperous and successful in this journey, make sure you remember what I said. I gave some instructions to your leader. Make sure you remember what I said. That will keep you going. One of the last things Jesus said when he said, I'll send you a helper named the Holy Spirit, and he will what? Remind you of what I've already said to you. What is Moses saying? Or not Moses. What is God saying to Joshua? Remember what I already said to Moses. When Jesus said, I'm going to ascend and send another, he said, the Holy Spirit will remind you what I've already said. The key to success, the key to a prosperous way, is to keep his instruction at the forefront of our mind when we are moving and advancing. I don't know if anybody's in the room hearing this right now, but for then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I was hoping to talk about this subject, and I will address it very briefly, and it's the longest title I think I've ever had before, but it's present tense steps, say it with me. That's probably a mistake asking you to repeat it with me. Present tense steps into past tense promises. Present tense steps into past tense promises. This is a phrase that I really want to encourage you to remember because this is the statement over every life of every believer and follower of Christ. Because every step that you're taking presently is simply aligning with past tense promises that have already been preset for you to fulfill. God is not up there, oh man, this is so exciting. I never knew this was going to happen. Like, I didn't know he was going to open that door, go through that, go into that season. I had no idea. God knows the end from the beginning. So everything you step into was already preset. He's just waiting on us. Now, timing is everything. Because Israel, although God knew Israel would take 40 years to exit the wilderness, it was supposed to be a maximum two-week journey. Geographically, maximum a two-week journey, yet it took them 40 years. And a whole generation had to die. Every person that left Egypt died before they saw the promise. Even the leader himself who led the people out of Egypt died before they saw the promise fulfilled. Timing is still a thing. But the promises of God are yes, and they are amen. And I believe God is bringing us courage in this chapter of our life. He's bringing us courage so we can have conquest in this season, to take and apprehend the things that God is calling us to take and apprehend. The things that we are stepping into, the things that you are stepping into, really are just past tense promises. Promises from the beginning of time that are unfolding through your current surrender. To me, that's the most comforting thing. I have seen the acceleration of some favor in an area of my life in the last, I would say, 3 months, really specifically 3 months. Accelerated favor with doors and opportunity that I actually was not looking for a year ago. I wasn't even thinking about a year ago. I was just thinking about the present step to move into the thing that I know God had promised me way back here, but I had no idea that when that present step would take place, almost 1 year later, I would begin to see an unfolding of the next step and the third step and the fourth step and the fifth step. But all those steps are just present steps, aligning yourself with things that have already been promised and are already yes and amen in Christ. And I think we often think of the promises of God as entirely future-oriented. We think this way. And while they are, in a sense, according to our timelines, according to our ability to understand time, which, by the way, our ability to understand time is very different than time in eternity. One day is like 1,000. 1,000 is like one day. In eternity, time is very different. So it feels like future to us has already happened to God. Try to wrap your mind around that for a second. What's future to us has already happened to God. In the realm of eternity, every promise of God is entirely past tense. It's preset, established, prepared for us to apprehend, to hold, and experience since the beginning of time. It's preset. The question is, will you partner with that reality? Will you partner and surrender with that reality? Will you co-labor with Christ? The Bible says that we are co-laborers with Christ because we are co-heirs with Christ. Because we are co-heirs with Christ, walking side by side with Christ, we are co-laboring with Christ, partnering with Him, and all the things that God has called us to live out. Now, in theological terms, write this down. This concept is actually called the prophetic perfect. Write that down. The prophetic perfect. That's what it's called in theological terms. The prophetic perfect. And this is used in biblical texts where future events are described in the past tense, like they've already happened. Like it's already taken place. It signifies that the outcome, the result, is guaranteed. Like Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, let me show you verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, who has blessed us. Now, does this apply to us or only to the Ephesians, the people at Ephesus? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. A lot of people believe that they're trying to attain and get the blessings from God. What if I told you God has already blessed you? You're just uncovering the blessing that's already been given to you. This is the beautiful news of the gospel. The work has already been finished. The payment has already been made. The blessing has already come on you. You have everything you need right now in Christ. It's called an inheritance. And because you're a co-heir with Christ, you have it all now. But every day, as we journey with Christ through surrender, we uncover what's already been given, past tense. Is healing something that you can get right now because God didn't already pay the price for healing? No, healing is something you apprehend right now because the price for healing has already been paid. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right by his wounds. But what if you're not healed right now? What if you're not healed? Like, what if you still have cancer in your body? Like, my present reality is there's a cancer, there's a disease, there's a dysfunction in my body, present tense. And that's why prayer matters, because when we pray for healing, we are aligning with a past tense promise that by his wounds, you've already been healed. And so God, let us apprehend the healing into the now that's already been distributed. Do you see what I'm saying? This flips the script of how you pray, how you interact with God, to know that it's already been established. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, for all the promises of God in him are what? Yes, and in him, amen. You know what the word amen means? Not the same as a woman. It means so be it. It means we agree. Let it be done. Let it be established. When I say amen, it's like it is established. All the promises of God are yes in him and amen. Back to our main passage for a few moments here. Joshua chapter 1, 1 to 9. After the death of Moses, let's go to verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now think about this for a second. Once again, 40 years of wandering in the wilderness under Moses. This death was not just a loss of a leader, but like I said, a loss of an era. And for them to go over and cross over the Jordan, which signified moving into the promised land, because there was a Jordan, there was a river called the Jordan. I've actually been in it. In Israel, it's where Jesus was baptized, actually. It's a really big river. It's a dirty river. And to cross over it signified the stepping into the promised land. And it was complicated to cross over. It wasn't so easy to cross over. They needed a miracle to cross over. But to cross over the Jordan was to cross over into what God had already spoken. And I believe for us next week, Vision Sunday, we are crossing over into some things that God has already, past tense, spoken. And I'm feeling this feeling for you, and I want you to pray about this, how this applies to your life, that there is a death happening in this chapter of your life. What is that death? Is it a mindset? Is it a letting go of something you've been holding on to? What is that death for you in this season of your life? What do you have to let go of? What has to die in you or around you for you to move into the thing that's new, for new life to emerge? Think about that for a second. What is that? He says in verse 3, every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. The same promise on the leader that you walked with for all those years, that same promise is on you to fulfill. It's generational. There are promises on your life that God has spoken over you that you actually won't fulfill, but the next generation after you will. The promise on your life that you have not fulfilled, that you would say, man, God gave me this word. I would propose to you to partner your faith with God and say, God, let the next generation, if it's not me, let them fulfill it. And let it trickle down to the generation after that and the generation after that. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Think about this. Israel had camped outside Canaan for 40 years. They were walking around in circles. They were on the outskirts of their breakthrough. But they were camping out over and over again. They were on the outskirts of Canaan because they were afraid of what lied beyond the crossover moment. They were afraid. How many people in this room would say that you know there's something for you to move into, but you're afraid? And so you stay kind of encamped. You want to kind of get a little bit of a perspective of what is around the corner. Maybe when you're 50, maybe when you're 60, maybe even when you're 70 or when you're 80. But you, rather than stepping into it and crossing over the hard, you remain on the outskirts where it's comfortable, and you're just waiting for some sort of lightning bolt in the sky to signify now is the time. I would propose this to you. Don't wait for something to have to die to get your attention. Something will die, but don't wait for something to have to die to get your attention before you start moving in because of fear. What is that for you? I don't know if it's maybe business. Maybe it's a calling to preach the gospel to your neighbors, your family. Maybe it's reconciling with some family members, friends, marriages, or whatever. Maybe it's a big financial step. Maybe it's the calling to step into a new opportunity, to sow that seed, to do this thing. I don't know what it is for you, but don't wait on the outskirts of what you know is right just because you fear what might be coming around the corner. Verse 4, it says, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. Everywhere you go shall be yours. It's already been set. It's already been pre-established. But let me just say it like this. A promise from God does not mean possession. Just because God's given you a promise doesn't guarantee possession. Because we have a free will. Now, God knows what we're going to choose. But hopefully you choose the right thing. Now, your mind's like, how does that make any sense? It's not supposed to make sense to you. Because God's outside of time. God's outside of rational thinking. It's been preset, but God knows what you're going to do before you do it. But he still gives us the opportunity to partner with him and have free will. I'll let that can stay open a little bit. Let it simmer for you. But a promise does not mean possession. They had a promise to move into the promised land, but they rejected their ability to possess the land for 40 years because of fear. Then he says this, verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. The promise of the last season continues to be fulfilled in the next one. Then he goes on, he says it three separate times. You know what he says three separate times? When things happen in three, pay attention. The thing that you're going to need the most to move into the promised land, that you're going to have to remind yourself that you need, is to be strong and be courageous. Be strong and be of good courage. Says it in verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Says it in verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Says in verse 9, be strong and of good courage. He repeats the statement because you're going to be tempted to give in. You're going to be tempted to think to yourself, logically, conquering this area, this city, this doing what God's called me to do is impossible. The giants, the walls, the intimidation, it's way too much. People tell me all the time, How do you manage your time? How do you manage your schedule? It's very complicated. It's very complicated. But here's what I would say. When you do things God's way, you figure it out. If you try to make sense of it all the time, it will not be figured out. I mean, I look at people like Harley, not to put her on the spot. I mean, as a criminal judge, she has stepped out recently, and maybe I'm saying too much here, into a new season. She has 6 kids. And how she manages her life to the average person does not make sense. But what I know about Harley is that she prayerfully considers what God is putting before her. And because she prayerfully considers what God is putting before her, she's not trying to logically figure out how it's all going to work. Yes, there might be a logical or logistical wrestle in the process, but in the end, you know what wins? God's word and God's way. And then somehow it works. It doesn't make sense how it's working, but it works. Is it hard? Absolutely. Is it sacrificial? Absolutely. Is it inconvenient every day? Absolutely. But since when did God promise comfort when it comes to stepping out in sacrifice? The Holy Spirit will comfort you when you mourn, will comfort you when you need it, but he does not promise you to live a comfortable life. Two different things. Comfort when you need it and living comfortable are two different worlds. You can live comfortable and not be kingdom. You can live inconvenient and sacrificial and be kingdom. That's God's call over your life. Because all we're doing is aligning ourselves with present-day steps that literally are fulfilling past tense promises that have already been preset and have already been established since the beginning of time. I want to close with this in Revelation chapter 13. It's the gospel. Think about this for a second. The gospel was something that was preset, something that had already been done before you ever needed it to be done. You know that Jesus Christ did not just die 2,000 years ago. He did physically. God in the flesh physically gave his life on a cross over 2,000 years ago. The most excruciating way. Body ripped apart. Public for all to see. And then he resurrected. But you know that the plan for all of that in the spirit was already preset and established before the foundation of the world even began. Because why? God is Alpha, he's beginning, and he's Omega, he's the end, which means he sees the beginning and he sees the end. The plan of redemption was already put in place because God knew that humanity would mess up. God knew that humanity would need a savior. God knew that it would not be enough just to say, hey, you can eat off every tree in the garden but one and man wouldn't screw it up. God knew what would happen, so he already pre-planned and preset and pre-ordered and established the answer of redemption before the foundation of the world began. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, and all the people who belong to this world worship the beast. They are the ones whose names were not written in the book of life that belongs to the Lamb, Jesus Christ, who was slaughtered before the world was made. When Jesus went up on that cross, it was a present step into a past tense reality, a past tense promise. That's all it was. He was fulfilling what had already taken place in the spirit, doing it in the natural for all to see. I want us to stand up as we close this morning. And I want to encourage you to get a perspective today. That everything you do moving forward simply is aligning yourself with things that have already been fulfilled in the Spirit, in God, before the foundation of the earth began.